the joy of Easter. At the beginning of John's Gospel, he says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Last night at the Easter Vigil, as the church was totally dark, this single light from the Easter candle entered into this place. And from it, the whole church was lit up with the glory of the resurrection. The joy of Easter is the joy of the resurrection of the Lord, and it's a joy like none other. All the other joys are fleeting. They will pass away. But this joy alone is eternal. And it's all the more joy because it seemed that the darkness of death had won, had defeated Jesus. But the darkness cannot overcome it. So today we rejoice in this light that shines in the darkness. We heard from Luke's Gospel today about these holy and pious and grief-stricken women who go to the tomb of Jesus with spices. Their intent is to anoint and honor the dead body of Jesus, his corpse, lifeless in a dark tomb. But they do not find what they seek. They do not find a body whose life light has darkened. Instead, they find a light. The dazzling garments of two men, angels perhaps, who say to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised." At that, they remembered the words that Jesus had said about his dying and rising on the third day. And they returned filled with joy to announce these things to the apostles and the other disciples of Jesus. You see, they had not believed immediately, but they came to believe. And so too, the apostles, they think the women's story is nonsense. They do not believe it. Delusions of grief, perhaps, that they're under. But Peter, who is accustomed now to being wrong and to being surprised after spending a few years of his life by Jesus' side, he goes to the tomb. And we hear that he returns home amazed. That is, open to the gift of faith. Their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe it. Is there a better summary of the modern world's response to the Christian proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus? It makes no sense. It contradicts reason, they might say. It's impossible. Well, is it unexpected? Yes. Is it unprecedented? Absolutely. Unmatched? Indeed. Never before conceived of? Yes. Not in the realm of human experience? Yes. But is it impossible? Hadn't God's holy people believed all sorts of nonsensical promises before, which God then went about fulfilling in their midst? Promising to an old man, Abraham, to his wife beyond the age of having children, that they would have descendants as numerous as the stars. Promising the people of Israel freedom from slavery by passing through the waters of the Red Sea. Promising to give them the promised land, and even after their exile, to be returned to it. Time and again, these promises, which seemed like nonsense, were fulfilled. And now God has given one more promise. Perhaps you could say a summation of all of the promises when Jesus says that the Son of Man must suffer and on the third day be raised. prophecies and promises that say that sin and death itself is to be conquered. Not merely avoided for a time, not merely delayed, but defeated. It seems like nonsense. Perhaps that's a reasonable starting point to doubt it. But these apostles and these women saw, they witnessed, they experienced Jesus, the crucified one, risen from the dead. So if this does not fit into your worldview, if you see the resurrection of Jesus as impossible, well, it happened, and therefore a new worldview is needed. That at least is the way it was for the first followers of Jesus. It didn't fit for them into how God's plan was supposed to transpire. They were amazed at what happened. Everything was now changed. They needed to see the world differently. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It changes how we relate to God. It changes how we understand ourselves and our human capacities. Death is no longer a limit, but a passageway to a new and more glorious life. The resurrection of Jesus changes everything. I'd love to go on and explore that theme about how in the resurrection of Christ all is made new and transformed. But I will let you get to your family celebrations as well today. So maybe it doesn't fit into your worldview. But who is to say that your worldview is exhaustive and complete? To quote Shakespeare, Hamlet says, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." The resurrection of Jesus breaks the limits, and it changes everything. What was undreamed of has happened. Now, the resurrection of Jesus also means that He is still alive today. If it is true that He is risen, then we can still encounter Him today. So, brothers and sisters, I ask you, have you encountered Jesus, risen from the dead, alive and present? Only through this encounter can you be Christians truly alive in Christ Jesus. The world does not need more unhappy Christians. Christians who have not encountered the risen Jesus. Christians who live without the joy of the resurrection. Christians who seek the living one among the dead. The world doesn't need that. Only a Christianity in which the transformative power of the resurrection is unleashed will suffice. Our world feels like it is enveloped in darkness. It feels like the human spirit is being suffocated. It feels like the world is losing hope. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome it. Open your eyes amidst the darkness. See the unconquered light of the risen Christ. Allow yourself to be amazed. What was once nonsense is the one event that brings sense and meaning to our lives as Christians. Jesus is risen from the dead. He has shattered the limits of human existence, and all who live in Him know true life. Everything has changed. Jesus is alive and with us. He is risen, as He promised. He has risen indeed.